24. I used to think I was a tough kid. I was not a tough kid at all. I thought I was a man. What a punk. Used to be on the streets and thought I was real cool. When you grow up, you kids that think you're real cool now, when you grow up, you're going to say, boy, that old man was telling me something. They're laughing at me now. They're going to look back and say, you know, that guy, he wasn't as dumb as I thought he was. Matter of fact, I'm not dumb at all. You get a little more wisdom as you get older. At least you hope you do. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 24. Here, John, here we go. What will you be watching and looking for in 2009? The next 4 or 5 messages, I'm going to be trying to challenge you about 2009. Boy, next Sunday morning. I hope everyone's here next Sunday morning. I'm going to be the Lord gave me up, came down and just squeezed me and hugged me. And the other night, just off the chart. I was so excited about it. God hadn't done that to me for a long time. I can't tell you what the Lord did for me a couple days ago. And I'm going to preach a message. Don't lose your dream. Don't lose your dream. And that's next Sunday morning. All right, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Tonight we're going to just try to challenge you with about what you should be looking for and watching for in 2009. Matthew 24, verse 32. And we're going to talk, of course, I'm going to read about Israel. I gave you that map on Israel tonight, but I'm not preaching on Israel. That's not my message tonight. Look at verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. The fig tree is always Israel in the Bible. When its branch is yet tender, put it forth leaves, you know that summer's nigh. Israel became a nation in 1948. Israel is starting to bud. Started to bud in 1948. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it's near, even at the doors. Brother Cody, I think with all the things we're seeing, I think we're at the doors of Jesus coming back. I really do. Verily I say unto you, did you know that I was talking to that the missionary today? He told me that, but that 8A1 highway, Asian one, that road's not only going through all of Thailand, it's going all up through China. Then when you come down south, they're going all the way over to India. They're making a bridge over the ocean and or the water there, and they're going into Indonesia, a main highway. That's another message. There's something about that I'll tell you about later. But anyways, not tonight. Don't come to me tonight about it. But that's exciting. And he said, preacher, it's an 8-lane highway. And black, I said, what happened? I said, is it blacktop? You know, because most of those roads over in the Philippines and stuff, they're mud or holes or rock or whatever. And of course, that's in Thailand. But he said, preacher, no, it's not, is it not mud and rock? It's blacktop. It's 8 lanes. It's like your interstate systems right here in America. We're talking about third world countries. Are you listening to the preacher? I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. There's a reason for that Asian one. There's a reason for that Asian one. You read the book of Revelation, you might find out what it is. I better get going on this, Brother Rod. So likewise, ye, verse 33, when you see all these, know that it's even near under the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And in 1967, Jerusalem, the Jews got back possession of Jerusalem. First time in 2,500 years that they were in control of Jerusalem. And he said, that generation will not die off till I come back. Give that a thought. Heaven and earth and shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, but of the day and the hour that no man knoweth. By the way, no one does. Even that guy on the radio and even that guy on TV that tells you, don't believe him. Don't send away for his book for $45. Don't send away for his prayer cloth that it could reveal to you when it is. Look what the scripture says in verse 36. But of that, those are charlatans. I was telling the preacher, I never back up preaching about money for the cause of Christ. I never back up for that. But I said, the charlatans, when they're stealing the people from the money, that's different. Verse 36, but a day and hour that no man knoweth, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming Son of Man be. For in those days there were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving into marriage, until the day of Noah entered the ark. Sounds like today. And Noah knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. By the way, you have to understand, when you read these prophetic scriptures in Matthew and in Matthew 24, Mark 13 and Luke 21, those are all prophetic scriptures, and they're always referring to the tribulation, to the revelation. Are you with me? We go up 7 years before that in the rapture. So Brother Mike, when you see how close this is, you ever hear that statement, we're closer than you think? Look down verse 42. I'll get down the message. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Yeah, if you know the thief was going to come, you'd stay up all night with your gun ready to shoot him. Right? Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you'll bless tonight. Thank you for the great church you've given us and the warm spirit. Thank you for the people who are being saved and baptized, joining the church. Thank you for the witnessing going out. And Lord, all the different ministries. Lord, today, I didn't get to talk to Bobby, but thank you for the ministry this afternoon at the special needs children. Lord, I just pray you'll continue to bless that in 2009. You put in my heart that we're going to get at least one or two families or so from that, even that ministry. So, Father, I just pray that you'll help me be a blessing tonight. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today's the first Sunday in 2009. 2008's behind us. You know, I can't do nothing about 2008, Brother Mike. It's all gone. There might be some things I wanted to do in 2008, but they're gone. But 2009's before us. Amen. That's one thing I like about a new year. Kind of gives you a new, fresh start. Amen. And, you know, I watched them drop that ball at New York Times. How many watched them drop the ball? I didn't find Dick Clark. I must not have been on the right channel. I didn't see Dick Clark, but they said he was on there. But I must have had the right channel. And I don't even remember what channel I was watching. The one I had, Bill Clinton came on it. That's the one I had. I knew I had the wrong channel then. I said, oh, my lands. Hillary and Bill. I said, I want to see. I think he hit the button. I think he actually messed up. I think he shot that thing before it was supposed to be shot. But he didn't know. He was busy talking. Hey, look at me. Yeah, I'm Bill. I'd like to be president again. Why don't you take my wife? I'll work to her. But anyways, I watched. How many did watch that Times Square? You know, I used to be a heavy drinker before I got saved. I know the dangers. I used to be out all the time. And New Year's is the biggest drinking day of the year. And I tell you, some of you always ask me, and I thank you that you're kind to ask me. I never go out on New Year's. I just don't go out. I actually stay in my basement. I stay away from the streets as far as I can. Lock the doors and bar and everything. Put up bunkers and, you know, because it's the most dangerous night. Because I know I used to be driving under the influence back years ago, but it's the most dangerous night you can ever be out. And it's fun to be with family and friends, but preacher just got a phobia, and so I hope you never be offended that I don't come over on New Year's night. I just stay home, and I've been doing it for years. The only thing I didn't do this year, I used to shoot my gun. Me and David used to shoot, yeah. Boom, we'd shoot our shotgun off, you know, and wake the neighbors up, and Amen. But I saw thousands of people on the TV that night. They said that one man quoted there was over 1 million people packed in. Last year, me and Dave and Shannon and the kids, we went to New York. We actually went. We saw a Yankee. We went into Times Square, and we saw where they were standing. We stood right where they were stood, and I'm so glad I was at my home right now instead of being in Times Square. It was like 6 degrees. It was freezing. All they could talk about how they were freezing. Can you imagine for 4 hours telling people you're an idiot standing out there freezing? I said, man, break to a commercial. Do something. Get yourself off there, you know? And they said, well, what about you, idiot? You're watching them. And I didn't put it on. I didn't put it on until like 11:58. Like, you know, I didn't watch the preludes. I just waited until it was like 2 minutes. And 2 minutes was enough for me. But anyways, I saw those people, and there were people from all of America. There were people from all different countries. There was people from Germany, Australia, England, Canada, Mexico. I mean, you name it. That is a big thing. Every year, people come from the world to stand and freeze in Times Square. The world don't have a whole lot of sense, do they? Well, one thing, the New York people didn't mug them that night. That's good. That's nice of them. And I saw, but what I want to get, and I'm having a hard time, if I can get this, the whole message is this. I saw their faces. And I saw their excitement. Some of you saw it. Yeah, about half of you. I saw their excitement on their faces, and I saw them, you know, really jubilant, and man, and I, you know, I thought about them as I turned the TV off. And I said, the only thing I thought was, well, what happened to Dick Clark? He's still alive. And I thought, I wonder, all those people that were there packed in like sardines. They were packed in like sardines, man. They had all their crazy hats on and all kinds of stupid stuff. That's fun doing that, though. It really is. I used to do it all the time when I was a kid. Being stupid's fun, ain't it, kids? And when you're young, you can get away with it. You say, I'm just a kid. It's when you get those old guys like me back there. He's like, hasn't he learned yet? No excuses. They had their little stupid hats on and everything. But I thought, I wonder what they're looking forward to in 2009. Over 1 million people, Carl, in that little area in New York City, over 1 million people packed in to watch a thing drop that really probably half of them weren't even looking when it did. And have the confetti fall down. And probably a lot of them are in hospitals now with pneumonia because they caught it when they were out there that night. One lady said that she was there like for 12 hours or, you know, they get there way ahead so they get a good place. There's nowhere to sit. How do you get a good place when there's no chairs? And so here's the question it went through. So I thought, what will they be looking for in 2009 to help their lives? I see all those lives, and that wasn't just from America. Actually, there was a scan of the globe was there. A lot of people from all over the world were there. Really, there was. And they come every year. Will their focus be on hoping the stability of the banking system gets stabilized in 2000? Would they be, if you'd come and say, what's the most important thing in 2009 for you? Would it be the stability of the banking system so we can get back down to being afraid of everything falling apart? That might be. Would it be in 2009, would their focus be on the stock market? Boy, is that thing going to, am I going to lose any more money? No, most people have already lost their money, so they're not worried about that. Will they be watching in eagerness the recovery of the economic crisis about the auto industry and in the housing section? I think they'll be a lot worried about that. Ford Motor Company and Chevy and Chrysler, I think they'd be concerned for that. Will they be concerned about the climate change? Boy, I'm so glad Al Gore's got a global warming. Can you imagine how cold it'd be here if we didn't have a global warming? And by the way, if you'll buy into global warming, I want to sell you a bridge to New York. There is no global warming, folks. Don't believe them. It's cold, cold, cold. They got snow out there in Las Vegas the other day and stuff. Trust me. Well, that's why we're having global warming. That's why it's starting to cool down. But I thought Al said, the earth has got a temperature, a fever. Remember how he said the room was warming up? He said, what we got to know is that the earth has got a fever. What we got to know is Al Gore didn't invent a computer either, like he said he did. No doubt people will be very concerned about what's going on and what's going to happen in the Middle East. I guarantee you, this Middle East thing is, the countries are worried because you could escalate a full-scale world war here. Because if Iran would do something and Israel would attack Iran, and then Egypt and the other Arab nations would jump in. What about if Russia would jump in? What does America do? Oh, we let them go down in that one little Georgian nation because that was still Russia's property anyways. Hello? Are you still with me? Do you realize China could jump in? What would happen if China would attack Israel? I'm going to tell you right now, 2009 is going to be exciting. I mean, I think people are going to be thinking about the Middle East. I think they're going to be thinking about Israel, the Gaza Strip, Iran, Iraq. By the way, Iran has a nuclear. They're worried about nukes. And Korea, boy, North Korea just keeps rattling her saber. Afghanistan. I'm concerned about Afghanistan, fellas. I think we got some major problems in Afghanistan. Egypt, Africa, China, Cuba, Russia. I'm going to tell you, during 2009, I think at one time or another, all these nations are going to play part, and they're going to be in focus in the news. Can anyone say amen? And then in 2009, will be people watching to see how much a barrel of oil, a crude costs. Because whatever crude costs, whatever a barrel of oil costs, that's what affects your price on your gasoline. It was going over $150 a barrel, and it dropped down to $30-some dollars a barrel. Now I think it's between $40 and $45 a barrel. Hello? I wonder if some of those people might, in that Times Square were thinking about, I wonder how much oil is going, how much gas is going to cost us in 2009. By the way, your government's going to tax you, even if the oil drops. We're not going to pay cheap prices because they're going to put a tax on it to make us know that we have an oil crisis. So, and their goal, by the way, is $4 a gallon. So even if you get around $2 a gallon from the Arab nations. I think they're trying to see one thing about the government. They like to tax. They're going to have a fat tax. They tax you for your other things, but they're probably put a $2 tax on your gas eventually. And those that drink soda pop with sugar, that makes you fat. Boy, I wonder what happened to me, Bobby. I don't even drink it. Must be the pizza from Siciliano. They're going to tax you everything you do. They're going to tax us how many miles we drive. Welcome to America. Hasn't changed, has it? Doesn't matter who's in there, Democrat or Republican. They're going to tax. Notice, in 2009, will they be watching what's happening to the auto workers? We have auto workers in our congregation. Chevy. We've got people from Chrysler. And we might have some from Ford. But I'm going to tell you, we'll be watching what happens to them. Then what will they be watching the retail section? What happens in the retails? Like, what's going to happen to Sears and Kmart? They might be going under. What about JCPenney? What about Dillard's? What about Toys R Us? Some of those stores are going under this year. By the way, if you have those gift cards, if you have any gift cards that people gave you, you listen to the preacher. I would spend them this week. I'm telling you the truth. Some of those stores that sold those gift cards, they're going out of business. You better redeem them while you got the time to redeem them. Isn't this a great message? And I'm trying to get to what I want to preach to you about. What's going to happen to Sears and Kmart and Penny's? And by the way, what's going to happen to Starbucks? Starbucks is going under. I never liked her anyways. I drank one coffee at Starbucks. Almost puked my guts out for an hour. Just give me a plain old cup of coffee. What about Kentucky Fried Chicken? Now I'm concerned. What about some of these restaurants? Now you're getting personal now. I don't care about Starbucks. When you're talking about the Colonel, I'm concerned about the Colonel going out. But we're going to have Burger King and all these other ones. What's going to happen to these commercial? When they're saying there's going to be a great commercial collapse. There's going to be all kinds of empty buildings everywhere. Because when the retail sector goes out, all these big commercial buildings, like your malls, for instance, the mall just past Akron, Rolling Acres, there's hardly nobody there. In Toledo, I think they had about 4 or 5 malls in Toledo. I think they're down to about 1 mall now over there in West Toledo. And we're going to see all kinds of malls go empty. Hello? I'm doing this for a purpose. Don't give up on me. There really is something behind this. Our attention is going to be distracted on a lot of different things in 2009. But what I'm trying to say is there's going to be a lot of things going on in 2009 that's not just going to affect us. It's going to affect everybody. And I'm saying this. We should not be like an ostrich and put our head in the ground and be blind to what's going on. I'm not saying we should be blind. I think we ought to be knowledgeable of what's going on. Amen? But God's Word tells us the most important thing of all things in 2009, we should be watching for Him. We should be working for Him. We should be looking for Him. And we should be living for Him. And in 2009, our main souls needs to be, our main focus ought to be souls, sacrifice, scriptures, and service. We ought to study the Word of God. By the way, if we don't study, we won't have the Word richly in our heart, and people will go unreached because we're lacking. You study, listen, God knows what everybody needs to hear. You get filled with the Spirit of God. God will tell you what to say to those people at the time you need to say it. He'll put words in your mouth. Amen? So stay with me now. No matter what happens in the world in 2009, our focus, our interest ought to be on the things of God. Don't get so caught up with the world and forget about what God wants us to do. And that's my concern. My concern is this. I think there's going to be a lot of distractions in 2009. And my goal, Bethel Baptist Church, is to not let me or not let you get distracted. That's my goal. I'm determined we're not going to let the world. I don't care what happens to the world. I care about doing God's work. And I think we need to carry on just like normal. No matter what's going on in the world, it should not so distract us that we don't serve our Savior. Amen. Listen, we should be more dedicated, more devoted to God in 2009 than we've ever been before. I wrote this down. Don't waste time in 2009. I think we ought to be... I'm going to challenge somebody to turn your TV off. Amen. I mean, the Browns have already lost. We ain't got to watch them no more. Hello? Turn your TV off. Instead of watching the boob tube, read the Word. Amen. Instead of watching the boob tube, go out and witness to somebody. Amen. Go out, instead of watching the boob tube, sit down and write a letter. Send a letter of encouragement to one of the members. Yes. Hello? Go to the nursing home with Brother Eddie and Lizzie. Go to the special needs kids with Bobby and them. Look, there are so many things we could be doing. Oh, I'm too busy. No, we are too... You don't realize what that TV does to our lives. Hello? And I think we ought to get more caught up in the things of God and get rid of all the worldly things. Amen. Thank you for the one amen. And I want us to look at, it's 5 after 7, so I got to do this. I want us to look at 3 verses, and I'm all done. And I might even have a banner made up, Don't Waste Time in 2009, and put below it, Soul Winning, Sacrifice, Scriptures, Service. We ought to think about that. Let's give it all for God this year. This could be the last year we have. I don't know if it is. But I think we ought to work like it is. And if 2010 comes, I'll challenge you for 2010. Hello? Look at the... I got 3 verses and 3 key words. Verse 42. I'll do it real quick. First one is watch. Verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. How many see that? Circle that word watch. That's the key word. Keep your eye on and mind on the sky. We should think more about Jesus coming than we do about what the price of the oil is going for over there in the Middle East. Amen. Hold your hand in Matthew. Just look at this. Only time I'm having you. This is the only scripture I'm going to have you look at. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Watch. We're talking about watching. Look at Colossians 3:1. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, are you saved? Look up here. If you're saved, Brother Billy, God sees us just as though we've never... God sees us, even though we're down here, Brother Mike, even though you and Katie are sitting right here at Freedom Street, in God's eyes, you're already risen. He's already... God reckons us already in heaven. I can prove that. I'm not tonight, but I can show you. You had the Romans class. I've showed you. God always already has, he's already reckoned us risen with Christ. Look at this. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you're saved and you're in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Bethel Baptist Church, let's focus in 2009 on things above. Let's focus on things above. Let's focus on things above and not, like the scripture says, and not on the earth. Because, Brother Rod, there's going to be a lot of distractions in 2009. And Satan would like that. Just like he just tried to distract you over in Super Church today. He's going to try to throw distraction. You say, no, we're going to keep serving. No, we're going to keep praying. No, I'm going to keep giving. No, I'm going to keep witnessing. We need to be not distracted. But look, it says, set your affections. Where's your heart at? What's more important to you, a football game or coming to church? What's more important to you, getting a ticket somewhere to see a game or winning someone to Christ? Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also shall appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. So we ought to be watching and thinking about our heart and our affections ought to be upward. Not this way, not that. Upward towards Christ. Amen? Go back to Matthew 24. Listen, we in 2009 we should think more about Jesus coming for us than we do what the price of oil is, or what the housing market is, what the job market is, what the environment is. Listen, that ought not be our agenda. Our agenda be looking up and saying, Christ, you could come today. We need to have a mindset on Jesus that he could come anytime, and he could come anytime. He really could. And our concern should be focusing on winning souls. I can't say that enough to you. You know why God blessed us in 2008? All we focused on was winning people. We're not taking our focus off that. You know, we went to Toledo this week. And I went to, her name used to be Angel Miller. Her mom and dad were real faithful at Lighthouse. And I watched her grow up as a little girl. Little grew up into a teenager. And later she had got married and got a child, a couple children. She just turned 38 years old. She has cancer, real bad, so bad that they think she might not make it. She's just almost a skeleton right now. Young, like Tammy's age, 38 years old. And we left that. We left, and before we went to Rosie's family, I said, "We're going to go pray with the angel, and we're going to try to help her and Sharon's her mother, Sharon and Dave Miller." And we spent some time at Toledo Hospital, and Angel has three little children. She has two little children. One boy that's almost 18. The one little boy came in. He's 7 years old. Remind me a little bit of Lukey. And a little bit older and taller than Lukey, but remind me of Luke. And his daddy came. They're divorced. And the doctor came in. He went, so we walked out. I asked him, I said, "Hey, Craig, do you know if you die, if you go to heaven?" And I got to witness to him and share the Lord. And he said, "You know what?" And I gave him a track. And he said, "I'll think about that because I'm not really sure." I couldn't get him to make a decision right then. But then I went and told Angel. And she said, "Oh, man, we've been trying to win him to Christ." And I thought, you know, and something the Lord brought me to Toledo, maybe just not just to be with the Lowe's kids, but I think God, if that man gets, he might have brought me just for that guy. And then even before that, we were in a Kroger's. We were buying some food. After that, we went into Kroger's and buy some cakes and sub sandwiches and stuff like that to take to the house. And, of course, Pepsi Cola, because they drink Pepsi. And, amen. And there was a lady in line. Of course, you know, I don't know no stranger. And I didn't have a Kroger card. And you get, it's like John Hill, if you don't have a card, you have to pay all the full prices. But I got witnessing to her, and she took my track, and she said, "Here, you need to use my Kroger card." I said, "Okay, run it." She saved us $4, amen. But, hello, listen, I don't care where I go, I'm going to talk to people about Jesus. Amen. I don't care where I go. I sit down with Rosie's family. One thing we're happy about Rosie's family, most of her family are really serving Christ now. Most of Rosie's side, Betty and all them, they're all in church. They're faithful in fundamental Baptist churches. And it's thrilling, you know. And I was just sharing them with some things that I know that I haven't shared with you yet. I will later this year, maybe. Some of the things I know that's coming up that I think might be another sign of Christ coming for us. And but, you know, I don't care where you are. You ought to be able to witness. Hello? I was in the hospital last night. I witnessed some people last night. You just never know. That very track or that very word you say, that might be that person that turned their life around. Amen? And so we're to watch. Listen, we need to have a mindset on watching for Christ to come at any time. Now, listen to me. Winning souls, serving God in all areas. You bus workers, don't give up on the buses. Serve them again this year. You Sunday school teachers, don't give up on Sunday school. Serve them again this year. You that were ushers and school teachers and you name it, deacons, you just name your name. Do it. Do it again. Super church workers, don't give up. Do it again this year. It might be the last year you can do it. We are in 2009, our mind ought to be, I'm going to serve God. I don't care what's going on in the world. I'm serving you, Lord. Because you can come back at any moment. And he can. And I noted this. You know, we waste time. We wasted time in 2008. Let's don't waste time in 2009. Amen? Then number one, we need to be watching. And by the way, when you watch, that'll make your heart different for the things of God. Because if you think he's coming back, it makes you serve better. When I knew my dad was coming better, I obeyed my mom more. Your dad's coming home. How many of you have ever heard that when you were a kid? Your dad's coming home. Boy, okay, Mom, I'll do it. It's when we get our mind off the Lord coming back and we forget really where we're living and what day we live in, because he is coming back. Number two, there's only three of them. The first key word was watch. Are you watching? Are you watching for Christ? It's 7:15. Give me 10 more minutes. Are you watching? Number two, are you ready? Verse 44 says, be ye ready. Look at verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for at such an hour you think not the Son of Man comes. Listen, if, If you don't think and watch for Jesus coming, you're not going to be ready. Did you get what I said? If you're not watching for Jesus to come, you won't be ready. Watching for Jesus will get you a constant reminder to prepare for his coming. Look up here real quickly. We're not going to turn to it, but right above those verses I read earlier, it talked about Noah. Those verses that we read earlier, prior, it said in verse 39, and Noah didn't know and knew not. Verse 39 says he knew not when the flood was going to come. But what happened to Noah? Noah, for 120 years, was looking for the flood. He was watching. He was working. He was looking. And he was doing. And because he was watching, he got ready. And Bobby, because he watched, he was. And when the flood came, he and his family survived. They were ready when the flood came. And what provoked it, the reason, if he wasn't watching, you think he would have been ready? Do you see how that, see how they, dominoes? How many see that? If he would say, I don't care, I don't know when he's going to come. I got plenty of time to build this ark. I got plenty of time to put these animals in. Hello? Of course, the Lord brought the animals. But I'm just using it for an illustration. A lot of us, oh, we got plenty of time to do that. We'll do it later. I'll read my Bible next year. I'll tithe. I put a guy's tithe in. He wasn't going to wait and put it. And then he heard us preach. He came and said, hey, preacher, put my tithe in. I want to be right with God. He's ready in case the rapture happens. Amen? Am I making sense to anybody? And here's what I noted. Noah did not know when the flood was going to happen, but because he was looking for the day when the rain would fall from heaven, Noah made sure he and his family were ready for that day. Have you made sure you're ready for that day? Are you saved tonight? Is your family saved? Are you ready for the coming of Christ? He's coming. And by the way, verse 36 says no one knows when. So you better always be watching because no one knows the exact time. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be 2012. I don't know when, but it could be any time. But we need to be ready. Like this very instant, you should be ready. Your family, because we don't know what, Noah didn't know what time, but boy, I'll tell you one thing, Bobby, when that rain started to fall, Eddie, Noah and his family, they were really glad they were ready. And there was a lot of people beating on that ark, saying, let me in, let me in. They weren't ready, but it was too late because God closed the door. And Brother Mike, when the Lord calls us up in the rapture, the only ones going are the ones that are ready. Our loved ones that are not saved, they're going to be left behind. I think we better all be building our ark. If you can understand what preacher's saying, we need to make sure our ark's ready because Jesus is ready to come back. Amen? Noah stayed. Listen, because he watched, he made ready. He was ready and he was prepared because he was watching. When you watch, it makes you say, wow, he could come any minute. It provokes you to serve. It provokes you to work. Lastly, number three, key word, so doing. I like that. Look at verse 46. Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find. Look at those two words, so doing. Are you with me? Two key words. So doing. Yeah. And by because he was so doing, what does the Bible say? Because he was so doing, he was blessed. Those that are watching, those that are ready, those that are working till he comes, and working when he comes, will be blessed. I told the missionary, I said, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to occupy till he comes. I'm just going to keep on keeping on until Jesus comes. I'm still planning. By the way, can I tell you? I'll tell you next week. I still got plans to build that new building. Amen. I'm not going to build till the Lord gives me the money. I'm not borrowing a penny. But I haven't taken it off the drawing board. Hello? Yeah. But I'm going to focus on being ready. Yeah. And so doing. Look, when Christ comes back, Won't you be glad you were serving? When Christ comes back, won't you be glad you went to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school? When Christ comes back, won't you be glad you were a soul winner? When Christ comes back, won't you be glad you worked in the ABL and the school and everything else, children's church, bus routes? Won't you be glad that you were serving? Sure you will. Won't you be glad that you were a tither and faithful in giving the missions? Sure you will. Because he that watches makes ready, and he that makes ready is a doer. Noah was doing. Noah was watching. He was making ready, and he was soul doing. And when Christ came, when the flood came, which when Christ comes, the ark's a type of Christ. When he comes, you're glad you're inside the ark. Amen? And so I close with this. Noah stayed busy. He never let the outside world distract him. And he never took his focus on what God told him. And that's, I said all that to say this one statement. Bethel Baptist Church, there might be some distractions in 2009. I don't know. Maybe there won't be. Maybe there won't be any. I don't know. But if there's distractions, let me encourage you to say, I don't care. I'm gonna stay watching. I'm going to be ready. And I'm going to be so doing when Jesus comes. See, what I'm saying is this. Brother Bill, no matter what happens in 2009, Bethel Baptist needs, listen, we just like my teaching about the Romans about the old man, he's not dead, we're not dead, but we act like he's not alive. Remember, we turn ourselves away from him. We reckon ourselves dead to him. How many remember that in Romans class? We need to reckon ourselves dead to this world. Because this world's going to get, it's a good possibility this world's going to whack out. And if we get whacked out with it, we'll lose the focus and the precious time. That, see, if there ever was a time for us to serve and be more focused, now is that time. Because I really believe in my heart, Christ is coming back soon. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know when. I just know that everything's getting ready. And did God have your focus, full attention in 2008? Will he have your focus and attention in 2009? I'll do my best to keep my focus on him. And I'll do my best as your pastor to keep you focused on focusing. We need to really realize we're living in a special day. People need to be saved. Time's running out. Have you ever seen those hourglasses? Time's running out. You say, boy, preacher, I wish your hourglass would end so we can get out of here. The hourglass is about ready to go out. We better, while the sands of time has fallen, we better do all we can. I'll share this one thing with you. Mrs. Gutley, we were talking. I told him about some things I knew was going on right now in America, and she made a statement to me and Rosie. She said, "Preacher, even overseas in Thailand, and in other countries, they're all crying out right now. Let's just get a one world currency." One world currency. So all the coins, all the money would be the same. That's David Skyver, as a little boy, used to hear his daddy preach back in the 70s and 80s. There's going to be a one world government, a one world currency, one world leader. That's called Antichrist. Before we get that, though, we're going to get the Americoin. Which is Mexico and Canada and America combining together. Be like the Euro, but then we'll go all to one world. So we got one more step before that. And that is going to happen. Just remember, I told you. America has to almost somehow have to collapse somehow in some way for us to give up our sovereignty. And so I don't know how it's going to come about, but it will, because the America one day is going to lock hands with the world. But don't let that discourage you. Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And because we know it's going to happen. That's see, because I read the back of the Bible, we know what's going to happen before it ever happens. Are you with me? I don't know how much time we got left. I know one thing. I'm just going to use, as long as I got breath in me, Jeannie, I'm going to do all I can to reach people for Christ. I'm going to give out tracts, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to witness, and I'm going to go everywhere I go. I witnessed to the grill last night at the restaurant when I took them out there at God's Little Heaven restaurant. Our favorite place, Josh. It's not McDonald's either. Cracker Barrel. I think they're going to have that in heaven, Josh. I'm not sure. I was amazed you weren't there last night, Josh. You must have just missed us. Because we were there by 5 o'clock. You must have came earlier, Josh. But I asked the lady, I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look for you. When I get to heaven, I'm going to look for you. Will you be there? She said, yes, sir. You'll find me there.
Amen.
And I said, why? She said, because I've been saved. I know Christ is my Savior. Amen. I gave her a track. I said, well, if you need a church, here it is. Let's just tell everybody we meet. There's someone out there that needs to hear. Amen? I'll share this, and I promise. We were in Texas, and Mike asked this lady at the Cracker Barrel. When we went to Texas, we went to Cracker Barrel. They got to be up in heaven, Josh. I can't imagine they wouldn't be there. And probably even McDonald's, you know, the Golden Arches. But Mike said to the lady, do you have a special need? I'd like to pray for you. She broke down. She was having a bad day. You'd be surprised how many people out there are having a bad day. And just a little kindness and care. I guarantee you that in heaven we'll find out about that lady. I mean that. Let's make a difference. Let's not let the world distract us in 2009. Let's distract the world for Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the time we've had. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us. I don't know. I don't really know what the future holds. I know you hold the future. And Father, I know that you, one thing from Matthew 24, there's three key words there, three verses. I'm to be watching for you to come. I'm to be ready so when you do come. And then I'm to be so doing, so I'll be blessed when you come. And Lord, help us to put that in our heart tonight. Help us to say in our heart, we're not going to let 2009 go away without serving. Help us to dedicate our lives in 2009 way more than we did 2008. And Lord, let's just give it all this year. Help us to give it all this year. There's a good possibility this could be the last year. Help us to give it all this year. All that we can reach. No one not reached. Help us do everything we can so we can reach people for you this year, I pray. Help us not to get discouraged. Help us not to get distracted. Help us not to get detoured. Help us not to take our eyes off of you, but help us to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing. What verse are you on, brother?
260.
260.